Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. And I feel privileged and honored and blessed and so fortunate to have Dr. Hugh Lynn with us today. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I am so honored. Dr. Hugh Lynn is the co-author of the best-selling book, Zero Limits, which I recommend so highly. It gets my highest rating. I've given away so many copies, and I don't even have one right now because I've given away mine.
Oh, I see.
Because I can't bear for it to sit on the shelf. I want everyone to have this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I also want to say that it's most important to me that everyone's dreams come true, that everyone be able to live the desires that are written on their heart. And I see using the simple steps you have given as a way to do that every minute, every day. And I just thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you.
I wanted to say that before I ever heard about the book, for years I heard this story of how you healed an entire facility for the criminally insane,
mm-hmm.
where people were afraid to go to work by using these steps, but I want to give you the opportunity to tell the story.
Okay.
But would you just
First of all, I think it's very important to be clear about how this all works. First of all, only the divinity in each one of us, only the infinite in each one of us can solve problems, and the problems are solved through what I'm going to call transmutation. That is, the question has to always be, so before I showed up at the hospital, I would work on whatever was going on and in me that I needed to let go of so that I could come to the hospital in peace. And so every morning I would talk to divinity, and I would say to divinity, well, I would like to make amends for whatever is going on in me that I have of each patient, each staff, the building. So any errors, any memories, any attachments, I would like to make amends for that. And so I would do my cleaning. The cleaning would be I love you, thank you, and any of the other processes. And so the appeal is made to the divinity, and it is the divinity then who comes down into my mind, and more specifically the subconscious, and it erases whatever is in me that I would experience as patients and staff. So I did that continuously, ceaselessly, every day before, during, and after going to the hospital. And as long as I was doing my cleaning, things got more quiet, whereas people were, all of the seclusion rooms were in use. After a while, doing this cleaning, that process simply closed down. So there was nobody in seclusion, nobody in shackles. And more staff had time to be with patients, and more patients had grew into being able to handle their own relief. So they worked on finding their own homes to stay. They worked on finding their own jobs. So it became much easier and more friendly and more fun to do. Yeah. So that's basically what I did. Just looked at myself and made amends for whatever was in me that I needed to correct.
What do you mean by made amends?
So, for example, there was a patient at Hawaii State Hospital in the unit that I work on. Who was really displayed violent kind of behavior. So I would say to the many, please forgive me for whatever is going on in me that I experience the patient as violence. And so the way this works is divinity, when divinity sees that it's correct, divinity sends down what the Hawaiians call the mana, erases in me what I experience as violence in the patient. So it gets erased in me, it gets erased in the patient, it gets erased in the building, gets erased there. So the patient becomes more and more quiet and calm because the memories are not there replaying that I was willing to first of all release in me, and then whatever got released in me got released in everything else. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just about taking 100% responsibility. So, like Shakespeare is saying, if you read The Tempest, Miranda says, you know, what something is living in me, and something is living in me. And so the Ho'oponopono is about what is living in me that I need to ask to make amends for, that once it gets released for me, it gets released throughout the whole cosmos, and everybody goes into, at least they get less of that, and it's all gone. Yeah.
Well, wow, I have so many things here. I just, as I've been working with this, the Ho'oponopono, am I saying it right?
Oh, you're saying it perfectly.
I've been corrected on that a lot and gotten really tongue-tied, so.
No, you said it perfectly.
Well, I've been really, really, really using it, and things from the Course in Miracles keep coming to me as I'm using it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things my son just gave me a note and said to call you I Haleakala.
Yes, yes.
E Haleakala.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that what I should call you?
Well, you can call me whatever you're inspired to call me. The word E Haleakala is a cleaning process. So if people will use my name E Haleakala, then the cleaning goes on. The cleaning means I'm sorry, please forgive me. Yeah. So yeah, that's fine.
It's wonderful. You know what? You keep answering my questions before I'm going to ask them, and then I get sort of tongue-tied.
Oh.
So there's some of that going on here. But as I've been using this, I've been also, when I see the person as less than the Christ,
yes.
I'm asking God, the divinity, to forgive me for seeing like the Warner Brothers illusion world instead of the world where everything God has created is perfect.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it.
And I've been learning this out of using it, and I knew that. But it's so much more grounded and so much more real. I keep thinking of the thing, for you're saying the same thing as in The Course in Miracles where it says, when one mind is completely healed, the world is healed.
Yeah, so it's so important to take 100% responsibility because whatever is going on in you is going on everywhere in the cosmos. Yeah, so if... Before I get on an airplane, like I'm going to be flying to Philadelphia and then on to Washington, D.C., I'm going to be on the airplane, and before now I've been talking to the airplane. So I've been talking it for several weeks now because I have my itinerary. So basically I'm saying to the airplane, which is United U.S. Air, and so I'm saying to U.S. Air, whatever is going on in me that you folks are experiencing is problem, I'm only taking your airplane to make amends. And so I do my cleaning, I love you, thank you, light switch, whatever the cleaning process, because if I can get rid of, or I can ask divinity to purify whatever is in me, that is creating problems for the airlines, then when I come, I will come free, and the airline will be free, and whatever needs to happen will happen. If there needs to be a delay in the airplane, so be it. If the airplane gets off time, so be it, but everybody will be fine.
Well, I feel like you're referring to some particular thing that's been on the news by U.S. Air, which I don't know about. So, but I think you're also talking about you're talking about my next question again. How do you do that?
I have no idea.
My next question was sort of like, how should we clean? How should we clean in regard to the economy, the things that are happening in the economy, each thing individually? Like, I had sort of a lot of fun with the WAMU one.
Yeah.
Because this is how I did it. And I am very cautious about asking you questions. Well, I'm not cautious, but I read something that you did where you told everybody that every question you ask is bullshit. So I thought, I have some brass balls to interview you.
What happens is if we're cleaning ceaselessly, then we would be in a state of zero, which means if we're in a state of zero, then there are no, we're just into the flow. So there's no bumps. But what happens, and we ask questions, we then hook in to the data and it stops us. In other words, the flow.
We hook into what?
We hook into what Jesus called the world, and what I'm calling more as kind of an up-to-date language. We get stuck in the data. So the data is the world, and so I'm only cleaning the information in me that I experience as the world, so that I can be free of the world by being free of the data. And as long as I'm free, I'm into the flow. So once I get into the flow, then I don't have to deal with how come and why. But because I'm on this air, I think it's important for you to ask these kinds of questions. Because
oh, good.
Please be free to ask it, because then you give me a chance to clean, huh?
Well, a chance to what?
You give me a chance to do my cleaning. Yeah, that's
to have the courage to deal with me. I mean, you got enough cleaning now to keep you in your room for about 6 months, I figure. I have had so much stuff to come up to clean since I asked you to be on.
Yeah?
You have no idea.
But I'm enjoying myself now, see? So whatever, you must have cleaned something, because I'm enjoying. Usually these interviews, like I had several in Japan. I finally had to say to the interviewer, I've had enough.
Really? Oh, so you weren't having fun?
Oh yeah, we're having fun. I'm having fun. Yeah.
I'm having fun too, and you know what else? I knew I would have fun with you. I had fun when I came to the East Bay Church and Religious Science with my friend Joanna and my son came, and we had such a good time. We laughed so much, and you kept saying every question was bullshit, and
yeah.
I just wanted to ask some questions, and you never even called on me, and I knew.
We're giving you a chance now.
You brought up several other questions. One is, you said there are different cleaning processes. I thought there were only the one that says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, and that covered it in every situation.
Yeah.
And I got basically, when the basis of this teaching and this miracle working process is basically, if you see dog shit, it is your job to pick it up.
Absolutely.
Nobody else's. It
doesn't
have anything.
You can't be saying, no, who did that? You have to be willing to say, oh, I can undo that. I just be 100% responsible, and I'll do my cleaning, and that dog shit will be lifted, you know?
Well, and you're saying when it's lifted, it lifts it for everybody.
Absolutely.
In the cosmos. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the stuff I'm interested in. It's then every day, everything I do produces miracles. That's what I care about.
Yeah. So, for example, before I went to the East Bay presentation, I had a discussion with the divinity, and I said to the divinity, well, they're inviting me, but they're only inviting me whether they know it or not to give me a chance to clean. So I got the address of the place, I got the minister, and then I said to the divinity, okay, I would like to make amends before I go with the land, the people, the area, the ocean, the mineral, vegetable, animal kingdom, and any kind of earthquake, any kind of that kind of activity. If the land was once under glaciers, so I had these discussions, and I said to the divinity, now I would like to make amends. So can you tell me how it is? Can you give me a process that tells me how I can make amends? And the process would come, and I would do the cleaning. But I would do it days and days in advance before I showed up. And then after I was there during the talk, I was doing the cleaning during the course, with all of the questions being asked, with whatever was coming up in my mind, I did the cleaning with that. And then when I left, I did the cleaning again.
Well, you know, and everyone can be an absolute spiritual miracle worker doing these simple
Absolutely.
Things. I think in the past we've been sold the bill of goods. A spiritual teacher is somebody that goes around on tippy toe, wears silk.
Yeah.
Everything is perfect for them, and they teach us how to undo it as they did.
Yeah, so for us, then the Ho'oponopono, self-identity of Ho'oponopono, says there's only one guru, and that guru is you. And then you get to work directly with the divinity. You don't need anybody in between. You don't need a guru. You don't need a master. You just need to be 100% responsible 100% of the time. You cannot let anything go without cleaning. So it's important for you to re-educate yourself. And so there's a part of us called the subconscious that if we work with that part and teach that part how to be responsible too, then while we're sleeping, it can clean. While we're awake, we can clean. But we have a partner. We need to have a partnership with that part of us that can clean nonstop. But when we are stuck in the data, which means that we know and nobody gets to the cleaning, then we're all stuck. Yeah. Nobody picks up the doo-doo.
Well, you know, the thing that comes up with me about 100% responsibility is I clean on myself, and then I go out, and they should have stopped what they're doing by now when I look, you know?
Uh-huh.
I cleaned this up. Now stop it.
Yeah.
Stop acting this way, I'll just give an example for, you know, about the elections.
Yeah.
Or about the economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did sort of make it fun, and I wasn't addressing myself so much to the divine as when WAMU, they had that big reorganization, and... I said to them, I'm sorry, please forgive me, but you shouldn't have messed with me.
Yeah.
I felt like there was something in me that did cause that downfall.
Yeah.
But I sort of made it funny, you know, like...
Yeah.
And I feel the things that are happening with the banks is because they do need to fall.
Yeah.
In the present. So So, isn't there any of they are doing it?
I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to tell you that we are responsible. That the source for our experiences is within. And so, if we are experiencing, quote, the economy having trouble, and we have whatever, we have to realize that what we are experiencing is within us. And so the Ho'oponopono, the beauty of the Ho'oponopono is, number one, no judgment. I mean, there's always going to be judgment. I'm always working on my stuff of being judged. But ultimately, the Ho'oponopono is saying, hello, what you are experiencing in you. And so the source of that experience is just surely memories replaying. And if you get at it, then you will be able to clean up whatever is in you, and it'll get cleaned up everywhere else. But if you're waiting on somebody else and you think that somebody else is there, you ain't got a chance, because all of these problems are repeats. They're repeats. They're something we've experienced before, and it's going to happen again and again and again, unless somebody decides to say, hey,
done that.
I just noticed that every time there's a problem, I'm always there, you know? Yeah, and so as tough as it is, the bottom line is, if you're going to save anybody, you got to save yourself first, you know? It's kind of like the airlines where they say, in case there's an oxygen problem, you got to put your mask on first before you put it on your child or anybody else. You got to do it for yourself first. Peace begins with me.
Well, you know, I always think that a bunch of us, before we came into embodiment, said, oh, sure, we'll go clean up Earth. It'll take about 10 days. Then we'll have a 300-year vacation. and, you know, we... 10 days max, piece of cake. And then... we kind of got hooked into the appearance world and quit serving the divine. We were serving the appearance unknowingly and went to sleep.
Well, most of us are still asleep. Yeah, but you know, let's assume you decide to be 100% responsible and you begin to do your cleaning, we're all awake because of you. We'll all become awakened souls. But if nobody cleans, then we will always be, as our friend Plato says, we will always be only seeing shadows, you know?
Yeah, and so basically the way I get this is we're asking the divine to forgive us for seeing the shadows instead
yep.
of the light.
You got it,
baby.
You got it. And then we're asking the divine one more thing, because we are seeing our autobiography. This is when I was in Toronto giving a class. I was reading an article. The guy said, we're prisoners of our autobiography. And we are. So we only see with our past. And our past is the shadow upon which comes through our minds and we see. So when we see, we only see shadows, but if we're willing to clean away the shadows, then we will see what Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And who is God? God is love, huh? And so you'll always have the experience of love if you're cleaning. But if you're not cleaning like me, occasionally I'm walking, because I walk every evening, and then I come across an intersection and I almost get run down. My first reaction is to stay under my breath. And then I go, oops, that I need to clean. So, yeah. It's only about cleaning to be pure in heart. I mean, the Ho'oponopono is called self-identity through Ho'oponopono. Being yourself, like Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. And Ho'oponopono is only removing the usurpation by memories, having divinity erase that, so that you can be your original self created in the image of God, which is enlightenment, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to think myself that being a spiritual teacher I would have it all together, and at last somebody else would do the cleaning.
Yep.
I didn't know it was going to be all cleaning forever. You know, the kitchen, the bathroom, the inside, the outside.
Yeah. But can you imagine, Iris, if we can get more and more people to do the cleaning for themselves. We're not asking them to do it for others. More and more people doing the cleaning for themselves so that they can be pure in heart, then it allows everybody else who's asleep to be pure in heart too, because when the shadow is removed from me or from you, it gets removed from everybody. And so we get to see what the Hawaiians call aloha. We, no matter where we look, we can see that we're in the presence of God. Yeah, that's what the Ho'oponopono is about. Yeah.
Well, so you know what I've noticed in doing this is that I would I would do a session where I would just look at everything in my life and ask it to forgive me and thank it and say I love you and I got to a place a few times and I would say, you know, God, please forgive me for seeing everything on earth that's like a Warner Brothers horror movie. I am so sorry for having seen that and believed that and made it real.
So let me tell you what I experienced of you that I've never experienced of anybody else who's ever interviewed me. And that is that you got it. That you are kind of a rare bird who says to God, I'm the source of the shadow. So whatever that shadow is in me, that's not you, God, and that's not me, I would like to make amends for that.
So, well, I've asked God deeply with all my heart and tears to remove every negative thing I've put on any part of life, ever, all embodiments. Please remove it. I just want it removed so that, you know, I have been and am and will be a constructive force.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. That's a rare insight to see that peace and the light begins with me. And I'm talking about with me being you and with me being me, that we come to the realization and the appreciation that the problems are within. And as long as we're willing to say to the divinity, I would like to make amends for whatever the shadows are that are within me, so that when I look not with the shadows, but I look with the eye, with your eyes. The eyes of love and the eyes of peace and the eyes of purity. And that's what, for example, I've just come back from Japan. I'm going to Japan. This is a couple of doctors have talked to me, and one cardiologist is saying to me, you know, the more I say to my patients before they come, I take their charts out and I say to them, I love you. Thank you for giving me one more chance. And then they show up, and he's saying to me, he's finding that he's more caring, and he's finding that the patients respond more caringly too. And so it becomes a relationship not between doctor and patient, but it becomes a relationship between two human beings.
That is really about healing the heart.
Yeah,
because that's the thing that makes the heart close.
Yeah, the shadows.
Yeah.
So now I have the uncaring. I'm having a friend of mine who is a psychologist who's saying to me, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists have a high suicide rate, but now that I know how that I'm 100% responsible for whatever I experience a patient, I can work on that before they come, while they're here, and then after they go. And she said, now I can sleep better, I'm more clear. When they leave, I don't have any stuff any dregs left over, and then something interesting is happening to me, she said. And the doctor said that to me in Japan. The doctor said to me, you know, usually in September and August, the number of patients coming to my clinic drops, but it hasn't dropped this time. And the psychologist is saying to me the same thing. She said, you know, I don't know where they're coming from, but more and more of them are showing up. And she said, isn't that wonderful? I get to see what I need to clean, yeah. And that's what life is. We're only put here as prodigal children. And prodigal children, then says, I'm giving you one more chance, so I'm putting you back into this existence so you can make amends. And that's the story, you know.
So you're saying we have left home by not seeing God's perfection.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by making amends? Is it more than I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, and continually cleaning? Or is there something else to do to make amends?
Well, there was a lady who took the class years ago, said to me, why can't we just say I love you? Why do you have all these other cleaning processes? I said, well, let me ask you, if I were to stand in front of your closet and you would open the closet for me, would I only see
no,
a whole
I would never
outfit?
Do that.
And
what?
She said, no. She said, you would see a whole slew of them. And so I said, what Divinity has provided different cleaning processes because different people will take the different ways of cleaning. And so there is a process of the drinking of the soul of water, I'm saying I love you, I'm saying I thank, but there are a whole slew of cleaning processes. That's number one. Number two, there's a part of us we can re-educate so that part of us can do the cleaning for us while we're goofing off. And that part of us is called the inner child or the subconscious. So part of our class or part of our training includes a re-education, how we can retrain or re-educate that inner child by simply saying to it a couple things, I love you, thank you, and here's how we can clean up our stuff so that you don't have to suffer. So not only there are multiple cleaning processes, but there's a way of retraining that part of you that can do the cleaning for you while you're sleeping, yeah? Or what your goose?
Oh, there! I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought when you were talking about making your workshop more harder, so people would think that, you know, I thought there were only the four steps, and that's what you taught in the workshop. And that's why you were saying it was so easy.
Yeah, no, there are multiple ways because there are multiple people, and people have a different slant. But ultimately, the bottom line is love. So if we assume God is love, then we know that it is love from the divinity that transmutes, that takes toxic memories and takes the toxic memories and purifies them so that the memories go from being toxic to pure, and divinity then takes those pure memory, pure energy, and releases them into storage, and that release, that produces an emptiness, or what Shakespeare called blank, what Jesus called pure heart, what Buddha called the void, and then divinity fills that void with enlightenment. And so the whole idea is to take something that's toxic, to purify it, release it, and then to replace it with inspiration or enlightenment. So whatever you were created to do, you're able to create. You're able to do it, but you have to awake. Yeah, most of us are asleep most of the time, and the Ho'oponopono awakens us by enlightening us, by removing the darkness of the shadows. Yeah.
So you're saying all there is to do is clean.
Yeah. There's nothing else now. In other words, any time there's a question that comes up, I'm cleaning. What's going on in me that this question is coming up?
And okay, let me give you a couple.
Sure.
Okay, what's in me that caused this, what people are calling a financial downturn?
Well, that's memories replaying. You and I know that we've had these problems. This is not new. I mean, we've had depression, we've had recession, we've had financial problems down through the history of man, back down into the period of Moses and back. And so this is not new. So what is that telling us? It's telling us this is a replay. It's like watching football, and then you want to know whether the guy actually stepped out of bounds or he didn't, so you replay it. And so this financial problem are replays in us. It's reliving in us, what Shakespeare called, it's reliving in us. So Shakespeare, if you read all of Shakespeare's tragedies, simply are saying there's nothing new. King Lear has had this problem, and all the players with him has had this problem, and in the end they're all going to die.
Well, you know what, though? We want to create something new. We want to create something new and spiffy and shiny and pure and happy the way God intended.
Yeah, but I that's not something I want to do. What I want to do is to be zero. Whether something new comes up, when it comes up, that's the divinity's job. My job is to get my stuff, the shadows, out of the way so divinity can come and enlighten me. So how will divinity enlighten me? I have no idea, but I know whatever that enlightenment is going to be perfect for me, perfect for my car, perfect for this building, my home, perfect for every manifestation of creation. So I'm not so much interested in anything other than to be at peace with myself. If I'm at peace with myself, everybody else will. And as long as everybody's at peace, they will get inspired. How will they get inspired? Like working with patients at Hawaii State Hospital. I wasn't interested in having them go home or do anything. I was interested in me being at zero, me being at pure in heart. As long as I was pure in heart, then divinity could decide for them what is perfect and right. So I never pay attention to what is best for anybody. I just do my cleaning so that I can be at zero and get my memories and get myself out of divinity's way, so divinity can enlighten me and enlighten everybody else.
Well, so you're saying that our job is just to serve divinity and have everything else taken out.
Yeah, our job is to be ourselves. Like Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. And so who are we? We are pure in heart. We're created in the exact likeness of the divine. So as long as I'm pure in heart, then divinity can come through me, divinity can come through anybody and everything and give them whatever it is that they need. This is why, for example, when you do therapy, you're going to get into trouble and you're going to end up really sick and have a lot of problems, because what therapy says is I'm helping you. And what divinity says, no. You're helping yourself. If a patient comes to you and you do your cleaning, then I can do for you what is right for you, and I can do for your patient what is right for your patient. But I'm the only person, the divinity is saying, I know, since I created you and the patient, what's right for both of you. But if you think that you know better than I, you're going to be in trouble. And so for me, my whole life is about just being, cleaning to be myself, to thine own self. Be true. And as long as I'm true to myself, everybody else will be true to themselves. Peace begins with me. And that's where I'm going for. I'm going for just to be myself and leave everybody else alone.
Well, you certainly can't ignore all these miracle byproducts of the process,
yep.
though.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to ignore any of that. I'm pleased to hear that, but in the end, only the divinity can transmute toxic energies. And only
You're saying you take this opportunity to get out of the way so
yep.
that may be done.
Yep.
That's the whole work for all of us.
Yep.
You know what I think the second coming is, really?
Yes.
Is when everyone realizes that they are the Christ.
Yep.
That everyone awakens to that.
Yep.
And this is certainly a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to happen as a byproduct of you thinking.
Absolutely, but it cannot happen unless you and I are pure in heart. And we being pure in heart is what again Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. And the truth of us is that we're created exactly in the image of God. Now most of the time we have our garbage play and these shadows show up and we think that's real. But I don't, for me, when somebody asks me, Dr. Huan, can you tell us when I'm inspired or when you're inspired? I say, I don't pay attention to that. I'm just going to pay attention to the cleaning. I'm just going to clean ceaselessly and not try to pay attention to whether I'm inspired or not, because I don't know those things. But I know how to clean, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So, besides your book, you're doing talks all over the world, and you're doing... Also, are they two-day seminars?
Yeah, we're going to be doing, we do weekends. So I'm going to be doing a weekend here in California, I think the 17th and 18th, after I do the weekend in Washington, D.C. But the whole process I'm talking to you is we've talked about the weekend already. Just being 100% responsible, just doing your cleaning, setting yourself free from the past, being at zero, and then that's it. You don't have to do anything else but do the cleaning nonstop, and everybody else will be fine. The financial thing will shift. I have a good friend of mine that I've had as a client for 19 years, very wealthy man. He says to me, you know, this is simple to solve. I said to him, tell me how you would solve it. And so he said, I said, well, that's simple enough. He said, except the only problem is that there are other people who think they know what they do. I said, well, you and I can clean, so if you're the right person to inform anybody, you'll be able to do it without saying one word. I said, you can do this in the silence of your heart. If you get rid of the crud that's in you that you experience as a financial problem, by cleaning that up, the divinity will talk to every mind in creation. And that's all we want. We want divinity to say, hello, this is right for you, and this is, I'm going to inspire you. I said,
yeah,
sure.
Well, I have to tell you, I do feel sort of like the whole financial thing is my fault. I remember I started to, in like 1979, to work with a master of manifestation, and that's what she taught, to manifest what you wanted. And she said, Iris, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? And I said, I would pay it on my bills as far as it would go.
but Iris, our debt is not money, Iris. Our debt is the debt we hold in our souls. And though the debt is called a mortgage, and the mortgage is a debt called memory. And if we don't pay that memory off, we will experience a different kind of foreclosure, and that's death, D-E-A-T-H. But if we're willing to clean the debt in our souls, which is just memories replaying, everybody else will be fine. You won't have this kind of financial problem. But Divinity says, I'm going to set you free, you and E. Haleakala, Iris, because I know at some point you're going to say, hey, now wait a minute. I'm 100% responsible for what I'm experiencing. So if I do my cleaning, everybody else will be fine.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like it has been my consciousness.
But Iris, you cannot come from it's my fault, Iris. Because it's my fault, there's a part of you go, huh? Huh? There's that inner child who feels burdened by saying it's my fault. It's not your fault. So then if it's not Iris's fault or Yaliakala's fault, whose fault is it? Hello?
Them. It's them.
it's just memories replaying. And those memories can't help it because as long as they're in us, they're going to get bugged and up they're going to come and we're going to experience financial problems. But if we're willing to say, oh, like Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if we get to realize we have no idea what's going on, but something's going on because I'm experiencing this, well, then your responsibility is very simple. Clean it up.
Okay.
That's what I try to do 24 hours every day of my life is just do my cleaning and not get into it's my fault or it's my blame. But, yeah. I'm experiencing something. I should be 100% responsible for it, you know?
Okay, I think that maybe the thing that keeps people from wanting to take that step of being totally 100% responsible is that they do blame themselves. And that, you know, that to kind of I can say this. To the degree that we blame somebody else, we really are blaming ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But more than that, Iris, when we get stuck in blame, we're actually, if you remember that very potent saying in the Bible, if you are not for me, you're against me. So blame is against the divine. You're putting the blame is the darkness that goes against the light. And so the idea is, okay, we acknowledge there's darkness in us, there's a shadow playing, memories playing, I'm angry and resentful. Oh, okay, I get to clean that. And so now I say to Divinity, I would like to make amends, so would you remove the darkness in me that I'm experiencing? And Divinity says, I've just been waiting for you to say that. We don't need any drama or any show. We don't want to go, Just say, just do your cleaning and you'll be fine.
Just that I want to make amends. I feel like I've had a lot of regret in my life, like regret that I couldn't change something.
Yeah.
No, I'll just give you an example. Last year, my husband passed away from cancer.
Yeah.
And I adored him for 42 years. And
yeah.
And we were in love and happy with each other after 42 years. And I felt like I must have done something wrong for that to happen.
So, Iris, you can work on that. You can say, whatever is in me that I felt that I did something wrong, I would like to make amends for that. And you can. So regrets and any of that stuff are just memories replaying. And so your husband gave you an opportunity to go, okay, all right, here's where I am, here's where you are, so I just love you, and now you can make amends for whatever you think that you did wrong me to me. You didn't do any wrong.
Thanks a lot.
you didn't, none of that, Iris. You just go, I can work on whatever, and what is that? Oh, I don't know what that is. I mean, you don't know what that is. Whatever. It's like in Japan. I visited Japan several times, and I mean, people commit suicide by the thousands. And so the question somebody asked me, why did they do that? I said, I have no idea, but thank you for sharing that with me, because I get to ask Divinity, please forgive me for whatever is going on in me that people commit suicide. And I would like to make amends, and if I feel any guilt, I would like to make amends for that. If I experience any regret, I would like to. So I'm looking for ways to pick up the dog's doo-doo, yeah? That's all I'm
thank you. I'm so grateful.
Not at all. Now you give me a chance to clean on regrets and guilt and God knows whatever else. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. But I also felt that I was left because I did something wrong.
Yeah, well, you get to work on that. What is that? I don't know, but you're saying I'm cleaning. And as I'm cleaning, I'm seeing all these chains come off of us.
Oh, thank you.
You don't thank me. You got to thank the divinity. I'm just making amends, and we're counting on divinity to do its part. If I'm willing to do my part, divinity has to do its part. And since you brought that information up, I get to do my part. Divinity gets to do its part because you did yours. You revealed the information. Can you imagine 11 million bits of information that run us for which we have no idea?
Well, you know, I also say things because I feel like I do know the reason people commit suicide in Japan by the thousands, or is because there's no permission to be themselves.
Well, but the idea, you have to ask yourself, what is going on in me that I'm holding, because there's no commission to hold themselves, to be themselves?
I know that.
So for me, I have...
Oh, my God.
So for me, Iris, I have a lot of stories that come up in my life, and I go, okay, thank you. I get to cling with that. Because if you and I were at zero, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Okay, I'm just saying that. So now, as we're talking... These stories are coming up. How wonderful. I get to work on them so that we can let go of whatever regrets or whatever the 11 million for which we're not conscious of. But there are a lot of stories going on in us, reliving, retelling, replaying, reacting. And what are those stories? I have no idea. I'm just
kidding. Will you come back? We're out of time. I can't believe it's over so quick, but... Thank you for everything.
Not at all. And I want to thank you for inviting me.
Tell people how they can reach you, and then we got to go.
Oh, I don't know about those things. They can go to the foundation website. Yeah, www.ho'oponopono.org will get them to the foundation website.
All right, I didn't
want to commercialize anything.
I know, and it's important people know about your work,
sure.
And I thank
you're very
you with
kind.
All my
have
heart.
Have a nice day, Harsh, and you and Don.
And thank you, and we'll continue cleaning, and will you come back?
Of course. You invite me again, I'll find the time for you. I
thank
enjoyed
you
this.
So
thank
much.
You very much.
Thank you.
All right.
And
goodbye.
Thank you for listening. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen. Women, children, and yeehaw!